Are you a fan of Donald Trump or do you fancy Hillary Clinton? Whatever the answer may be, you cannot hide your political opinion from scientists. And there's a reason for this. The brains of conservatives and liberals differ. This was shown by several studies. In those studies, people had to lie down in a brain scanner where they were confronted with pictures of dead animals. Scientists were then able to tell if these people were conservatives or liberals just by looking at the reactions of their brains. They basically can tell if you're more likely to vote for Trump or if you prefer Clinton. Does this mean that we are born with a political attitude, and could politicians just stop their campaigns because we already made our decisions in our brains long ago? We're going to evaluate this question with a pioneer in the field of neuropolitics, Darren Schreiber. He is a professor of politics at the University of Exeter in England. Hello, Mr. Schreiber.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You were the first to use brain scanners in order to study political attitudes, and in one of your studies you showed that you can predict which political party someone will like just by looking at the activity of their brains. How did you do that?
Yeah, so the idea that we had, this has started about 15, 16 years ago when I was a graduate student in politics, and I had read some work that was being done at the very beginning of brain imaging in 1994, showing you could compare people who know a lot about a topic, who practice the topic, their brain activity compared to somebody when they've done a task for the first time. So you'd give them a foreign language to conjugate verbs in, and you could see that there were differences in brain activity when they first done the task and after they practiced it a lot. And I thought, you know, if that was true, then perhaps we could see differences between people who know a lot about politics and people who don't know much about politics. And my mentor at the time thought that that was a little bit of a crazy idea and said, you know, let's move on. But I thought there really might be something to it. And when we looked at response times of people who were answering political questions who knew a lot about politics compared to people who had not known much about politics, we could show that they were very different in the amount of time that they took. So this was an indicator that their brains really did process political information differently. We then, a few years ago after I'd done that series of studies, got an opportunity to reanalyze some data from a gambling experiment. And in this gambling experiment, people were given the opportunity to either take 20 monetary units or to bet that and have a chance that it would double to 40. And once they doubled it to 40, they could then take another gamble. And this data set then allowed us to reanalyze that same data that had been collected for addiction studies to see whether people who were registered Democrats and registered Republicans looked any different when we looked at their brains as they were making these gambling decisions. And it turned out their behavior was identical between the liberals and the conservatives, between the Republicans and the Democrats. You cannot go to Vegas or Monte Carlo and see the differences in political attitudes by behavior, but you could see very strong differences in the pattern of brain activity.
Certain brain areas of conservatives prove to be larger, others smaller than those of liberals. Does that mean that once I am born, it is pretty much predetermined where I will put my mark on the ballot paper?
Not at all. In fact, the book that I'm finishing up right now is called Your Brain is Built for Politics. And the reason that we have the brains that we have as humans, the evidence is very strong, is to enable us to manage the incredibly complex coalitions that we have been living in for hundreds of thousands, in fact, even millions of years. As species have more social complexity, they need larger and larger brains. This is true of primates, but it also turns out to be true in hyenas, in dolphins, elephants, a number of different species. They have increasing social political complexity. They have bigger brains. And so given that evolutionary logic, it wouldn't make any sense for our brains to lock us into one alliance or another. The reason we have these big brains is precisely because we live in social groupings where alliances change very quickly. If you're a black Argentinian ant, those ants can tell a friend or a foe by a simple test because they are, in fact, hardwired to have an affiliation with other genetically related ants. Humans have constantly shifting coalitions, just like other primates, just like dolphins, elephants, hyenas, and the other animals I've mentioned. So we actually have to have much larger brains than our body watt size would suggest in order to manage this coalitional complexity. In fact, I argue that we are hardwired not to be hardwired. This is one of the really amazing achievements of evolution in humans, is that we have this incredible neural complexity that allows us to shift coalitions.
But what would you say, which factor has the biggest influence on my voting behavior? My biology, my genes, or my upbringing and my social circle?
So it's a mixture, and the work that we've looked at in genetics, when we look at pairs of identical twins and fraternal twins, and we compare them and we compare extended family design, so not just twins, but we look at family members, cousins, uncles, and measure the genetic relatedness, the evidence is very clear across many different countries that it's about 60% non-genetic factors. So roughly 40% are genetic. So it's less than half. It's quite funny that when I mentioned this to a colleague once who is a very sophisticated political scientist, he said, you know, what do you think about this genetics stuff? And I said, well, you know, the evidence is pretty clear. It's about 40%. And he said, yeah, but we know it's not all genetic. And I said, yes, 40% is actually less than 100% and less than even 50%, but it's still a factor. And I think it's hard for us to get it into our heads that there can actually be multiple factors and that biology can be one of many factors. People then think that that means we're somehow hardwired or that it's predetermined. And again, the evidence that I have gathered suggests that we are hardwired, in fact, not to be hardwired.
Okay, but a different group of scientists has found out that the brains of conservatives react more strongly to images, for example, that are provoking disgust. What could be an explanation for that?
Sure. What happens, there is probably a degree of predisposition. So there is a tendency that people have to react in certain ways. That's what we found in our own studies when we looked at this gambling task. We could identify someone with 83% confidence, whether someone was liberal or conservative. The study that you just mentioned on disgusting images came out a couple of years later and showed 95% accuracy or even higher in terms of their ability to classify. But that doesn't mean that that was all caused by genetics. And in fact, our brains change as a consequence of our environment and a consequence of the choices that we make. So people, for instance, who have addiction may have a biological predisposition for it, but as they engage in those behaviors, that also appears to change their brains. The famous example of this is London taxi drivers. London taxi drivers have very large hippocampi, which is involved in memory, and their hippocampus gets bigger and bigger as they study the taxi map of London so that they can pass this test to be taxi drivers. So there's a change as the brain rewires. Similarly, soldiers who are learning foreign languages, their hippocampi change. So again, we're hardwired not to be hardwired. We can change our brains as we learn new skills.
Right now, the election campaigns in the U.S. are ramping up to full speed. How exciting is this time for you to do research in neuropolitics?
It's a really fascinating time. It's a really fascinating time to see the complexities of coalitions. Again, one of the major themes in my own work has been looking at the role of these incredibly complex coalitions in terms of how the brain functions. People who are long-term, hardcore, committed Republicans are finding themselves not supporting the Republican candidate. That is really fascinating, right? These are reflecting the dynamics of political parties. So the Republican Party of today is very different than the Republican Party of 4 years ago, which is different than the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan and very different from the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln more than 100 years ago. So what we see is this constantly shifting dynamism, which is exactly what demands us to have such incredibly complicated brains.
Our political opinion is not only influenced by our parents, friends, or election campaigns. At least some parts of it seem to be hardwired in our brain. We talked about this with Darren Schreiber, who says that we're hardwired not to be hardwired. He's a professor of politics at the University of Exeter. Thank you very much, Mr. Schreiber.
Thank you for your time, Christian.